welcome to a new episode of Live Evil Pod. Yeah, funky with the music, and I apologize for that. But I am back, and hopefully the sound quality is better. We'll just play around with that. So apologize. We're rusty. I've taken a short break, and it really throws me off on schedule. So tonight, I may be riding solo. I may have my co-host join me, but we are back to preview one of the week before until before the last week, because next weekend is the last weekend of the LCS and perhaps all LCS as we know it as far as regular season go. We still got the playoffs to go through, but certainly we have a few things we want to cover because everything's exciting. Missed out on a couple of weekends. I believe I missed out on at least two or maybe one weekend sans post break. Let me check the schedule. Yep, I think I missed out on two weekends of games. So we got a lot to catch up on. So let's start. I think I said so too many times. Let's dive right in because we're going to cover all of this in a very, very short fashion. I know I'm talking a lot, even though I meant to keep the show a little shorter. And so let's not waste any more time because I am a talker. I talk for days to come if I can. And about just about anything. So we'll start a little bit with the NACL. I know I haven't been giving it much attention, but I want to update you all. It's been exciting. It's been fun. They've tried out all these new different things, sponsors, going on YouTube, you know, playing right after the LCS is over. I think that really helped boost it some visibility, some, you know, some bring some eyes, especially with the partnerships to their sponsors, right? Like Dragonsteel, NZXT, Starforge. All of those really just made the overall thing league, the tier two, exciting, and they are really showing up. I know definitely in the Oracle Elixir Discord, lots have been talked about many of these players. So I'll just go over some of the standings right now. Dragonsteel, formerly known as Maryville University, is standing at an undefeated 8-0, followed by Fear, formerly known as Cincinnati Fear. So Fear x Starforge, then FlyQuest, NZXT, Supernova, and those are all tied for third place. And Supernova, Disguise, Team Liquid, Blue Otter rounds out the top seven. Who are going to be in playoffs, and the last spot for the playoffs is up for grabs between CCG Esports, Winthrop University, and rounding out the end, who has already been eliminated, AOE with a 0-8 series record, which is really astounding because I think AOE was at least in the middle of the pack, so things have flip-flopped around a little bit. Not surprising, Maryville is still back on top, and Fear is a really, really strong team. FlyQuest, having the best roster, or at least preseason roster, seems to be struggling a little bit, but they are rounding out to still be in the top three, and so the playoffs will be very much exciting for the NACL. Any players stand out to you? Any of you follow it? Maybe you're following it much closer than I am. There are certainly names like Surdy, we want to see Shiden, we want, you know, some of these players get a chance. Sajet, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Scary Jerry, all of those truly deserving of a LCS spot, but it is going to be quite slimmer of a chance with the impending move to Americas, where we have six Americas LCS team remaining. But certainly, the teams that are playing in the staying in the tier two will get a chance to showcase what they can do against these tier one teams. So not all is lost. Certainly, I'm wondering myself, well, this restructuring and how this merger will pan out for hopefuls who are trying to climb into the LCS. Had a great discussion this morning too with the LCS channel. Talk a little bit, projecting who's what would make a very strong roster going into next year. And, you know, Beans always giving us some insight in the tier two system. Really wants to see a Surdy, a combination of Surdy, Sajet, and, you know, I think he was struggling between finding a jungler or a mid laner to import, but certainly putting together a very, very strong team. Maybe Andrea will join us later on, and we'll touch base on a little bit on the pulse of the NACL. But let's take a look at in the LCS. Things are heating up. The best of three, I still favor it a lot. I'm enjoying every weekend. I don't have to, you know, feel strained and just feel like I'm using a lot of time of my day. I enjoy the quickness of it. Certainly, it would be nice if we had more than a single round robin. So the records will bear out a little bit differently. I'll go with the standings. Then I'll talk a little bit about some of the highlights of this weekend. We'll talk about some preview for next weekend. And then, you know, the talks is around the corner with the regular season over. Who is our MVP? Who is our All-Pro? You know, it is really hard not to select the All-Pros from, of course, a team that's undefeated. Will they remain undefeated after next weekend? We'll see. But it's certainly in the books for Team Liquid, our number one team in the LCS, to finish out this season strong, maybe undefeated, because their next opponent is NRG, and people are really not giving NRG a chance. You can hear it in the pros, you can hear it from the pros, you can hear it on the, you know, the show pros. Even Palafox was like, nah, no, don't worry. Forget it. TL's going to go undefeated. But very, very close, tied in the top three with a similar record of a 5-1 series between Cloud9 and FlyQuest around the top three. Of course, FlyQuest, you know, had more game losses, but their series standings looks the same. Cloud9 recently lost to Team Liquid, so that puts them from undefeated down to a 5-1 record. And so these two teams will face off against each other in the finals week, which sets up us for an exciting finish to see who will get the second bye spot. And that is a very important spot, because the first two teams, number one and number two, only needs to win one of their best of five series, I believe. Or, if they face each other, right? If they win their best of five series, they're going to Worlds. And then everyone else will have to fight through this gauntlet. Let's talk to the other challengers here. Tied in series record are Dignitas, 100 Thieves, and NRG. With Dignitas having a better game record with a 6-8, whereas Thieves and NRG are tied at a 5-8. Now, Immortals last place with a 1-5. Shopify also with a 1-5 record. Immortals is eliminated and they have no chance of playing and getting into playoffs. But Shopify actually does have a shot. And the shot is close to 50-50, or maybe some can even say 50-50, because they need to beat out 100 Thieves. So as I understand it, let's give some credit to those who are more than likely to lock their playoff spot. Dignitas, they have a good head-to-head records compared to these teams that are below them. And so all they need to do, let me see, is beat Immortals. Not a high, hard, difficult thing to do, I guess, but even if they lose out, actually they could miss playoffs. There's a good chance that they might miss playoffs, but I've seen enough. I'll talk about this in a little bit, but I've seen enough from Immortals. Dignitas, you know, are they scaling up? I don't really see it. They had that one exciting week, but ever since then they just look like maybe even a weaker version than their spring split. I don't know if you all agree or disagree with me on that, but let me know in the comments. Let me know, you know, through our interactions. I just don't think that this Dignitas team, despite their the players that they brought on, has not looked like a team that deserves a world spot. I think they have a chance to earn it. They have to really show up in the playoffs. I think that's been throughout the whole talk of the regular season, where, you know, in one of those matchups, FlyQuest against Dignitas, Jensen mentioned, you know, oh, you know, regular season doesn't matter. All we need to do is play for playoffs. We hear the same sentiment shared by Sven. So it's time to put up or shut up, because this team just does not look that amazing to me. With a 2-4 record, series record, right? They're just lucky to be called a top four when they don't look like a top four team in a typical season. 100 Thieves, super inconsistent. I think we really, despite David, our dear friend of the pod, David, telling us that, you know, 100 Thieves are only getting better, that they are scrappy, that people are overlooking them, they did not overcome the reputation that they got lucky in spring, that they got really feisty, that they got the correct meta, that they got hot and really got a lot of those best of one wins. At the end of the day, this team just could not compete against, you know, the top three for sure. Even in this past week when they played against Immortals, there was a shot that Immortals could have taken a game from them. If that had happened, 100 Thieves would have been below NRG. They would have been truly a team that needed to win and then also hope that some things fall their way. And maybe I'm overstating that fact, but at the end of the day, they are not a team that inspires confidence that they need to, that they should represent LCS at Worlds. Lastly, let's talk about NRG. This team also huge disappointment in spring. You know, they come in with a lot of fanfare. If you remember, they beat G2 last year, and that really brought us this surge of hopefulness, this youth, the same team that they kept and they were supposed to keep going. In the spring, all of the concerns, all of the things that the people that I listen to point out, like this is these are the weakness, these are the concerns of NRG, all of them just proved to be right, those arguments. And NRG has internal issues, as I hear it, has staffing issues, you know, cannot seem to come together like they did last year when they made that huge surge into Worlds, into the, even deep into the playoffs. They won the split, right? So that did not show up at all. And so, wait, did they win the split? I'm seeing here that they lost to Golden Guardians. Maybe Golden Guardians won that series. In any case, this is a team that does not have a cohesivity. They don't look like they want to play together. And it's not even just the change from Huhi to Ignar, or was it the other way around? Ignar to Huhi. There were so many different issues that, NRG won last summer. Sorry, got distracted. At the core of it, this is a team that I don't think is exciting at all, nor do I think that even if they make playoffs that I give them much chance to get too far. They might beat 100 Thieves. I think them and 100 Thieves are quite close with edge to 100 Thieves. But let's talk about the seventh place, the outside looking in. Shopify Rebellion. 1-5 record does not look great. They do have a 3-10 games. Series, right? So they played a total of 13 games and they won 3 of them. Why am I excited about them? Aside from their branding, aside from all the, you know, the excitement that I see with them teaming up with Simu Liu, and, you know, my love for their game changer, their Valorant team, this team is, you know, not exciting anyone who only bears to look at their records and look at their talent. With that said, their scrappiness is something to commend for, because they took a game from FlyQuest. They were able to... Where did they get all the other wins? Let me see. They beat Dignitas. So they're heating up, and these happened in the last 2 weekends. So it looks like a team that struggled through the beginning of the split, and after the break... you know, they lost to NRG, which really, again, you've heard my sentiments about NRG, and so that was a point where I'm like, okay, maybe this team doesn't have it. But in the last 2 weeks, they swept Dignitas, you know, again, one of the contending teams in the playoffs with talent names like Spica and Jensen, mind you, and Licorice. And then they took a game from FlyQuest with a bit more cohesion. This team seems like it has an identity. And again, I'll mention later on, we'll talk a little bit about my thoughts of the future for them. But this team actually gives me a little bit of, can they do something? Can they be something more in the playoffs? I certainly are more excited about their potential than I do NRG's potential. And maybe 100 Thieves, though I would say 100 Thieves, I still give them the edge. Talent and coaching and staff, all of that wise. But hey, who knows? So there were a couple of things that I certainly didn't get a chance to talk about. So let's dive into reviewing this summer. There were some roster changes made in the last week. Meech stepped out down because of taking care of his own mental health, which is really something commendable for. And 100 Thieves brought in Tomo, formerly of Dignitas, right? Brought him from the Tier 2 system and fit him right in. I guess we're going diving into the games right now. I'll start with that Saturday. They were the second game played. Immortals versus 100 Thieves. I said 100 Thieves had a chance. And certainly that first game kind of bared it out. I think Immortals played 100 Thieves really close. It was not until the end where Thieves got the fight that they needed to win and eke out, just squeak that victory out. Because I think Immortals was more or less leading for the most part and playing them well. It was a 47-minute game, almost an hour game. And, you know, for that, it really speaks volumes about, like, hey, they are taking some time. They need some more time to come together as playing as a five-man. But even so, you have names like Sniper, River, and Quid, whom all of them were spoken highly about, having trouble with the last place team. Noted, Immortals is a good scrim team. People are still saying the same thing throughout the summer, but it's concerning for me to see 100 Thieves struggle that much. In the second game, they did it much better. They completely stomped them in a 27-minute game. And, you know, Tomo played decent. It was Quit who carried team mostly. And, you know, Immortals just being Immortals. Like, once they can't sustain success, they just crumble. So we say goodbye to Immortals for now, and we are keeping an eye on the Thieves and see if they are able to make some noise in the playoffs, because right now it seems like they're still trying to find a way to play together. The second game that was played first, NRG against Dignitas, very straightforward. Dignitas beat them. It wasn't a very entertaining, fun game to watch, I say. It's 13-9 game scored in the first game, where NRG just looked terrible again. I mean, they pulled out the Lucian mid, you know, which, to my understanding, the meta right now is just ADC champs are much better played than actual ADCs, and we'll see a lot of ADC mid, because, you know, even for Dignitas, Jensen pulled out Azaria. That's not his type of champion. It's very weird to see him play that, but he did well. Very, very strong scoreline. He carried the team in kills and completely dominated the mid lane over Palafox. 40 CS difference, 4,000 gold ahead of Palafox. Just completely dominated, annihilated NRG. And the second game was equally as dominant for Dignitas, who finished a 32-minute game. Again, Palafox pulled out the Lucian, Jensen pulled out the Zeri, and everything else seems more standard meta. Licorice playing the Skarner when it's no longer in meta is quite interesting to me, but he's typically a guy that doesn't need a lot of attention and just needs to hold his lane. And so this really should speak a lot of concern for NRG, because I don't think this team is going to come together. And let's talk about the future. They have one more game left. They are facing Team Liquid. Even if they lose, they can still make playoffs as long as 100 Thieves win one of their games. And so the difficulty is not that high for them to make playoffs. And even so, I'm going to ask myself, do I really want to see this team in playoffs? Do I care much about them? And the short answer is no, I really don't. I'm sorry. I like contracts. I think they have a good talent in FBI, but I really don't care much for the rest of this team. And I think if NRG are to survive the culling, then maybe they need to think about switching up the team completely with a different members and maybe keep contracts in FBI and figure out some different combinations. Because this team, it's a lot of talent. There are talented pieces that can be built around, but overall, there's internal issues. They don't work well. The team chemistry is gone, and they'd honestly need a better coach because their 2024 year is a wash. And yet they're still making playoffs. They're limping into playoffs, I'll tell you that much. So next day, the second day on Saturday, we have the highlight of the weekend. Team Liquid against C9. Both teams coming in undefeated. Some people are saying, oh, TL looks a little shaky from the week before. I don't think I completely agree with that. Team Liquid has been maybe not the cleanest, but they were certainly leveling up after their after MSI for sure, and then they look better at that tournament, that random tournament out there. And so they carried over some of their special qualities, and I think this is just another scaling season for them, and they are proving us why they are the best LCS team. And I certainly will say they just look really, really good on paper, on film, and on stats probably, because they are able to just look good throughout each of their wins and figure out ways in challenges and struggles. They just didn't have the MSI hangover, something that majority of LCS team could not shake off. But this team is only looking to get better and better. And so, you know, really well done. I think the staff, the players really manage their own energy well. They manage their own pace of the season. Maybe it's because it's a shortened pace, but let's be honest, they had to travel twice within the last 3-4 months, and yet they are, and they play more games, and yet they are at this point undefeated. So let's figure out how they went undefeated. The first games against Cloud9 was very, very close. It was back and forth throughout. It was a high quality LCS game, I would say. And this do look like the two best teams here. And this time we actually get to see C9 looking like a good team. They haven't been like that in the whole summer. We think that, you know, Thanatos is coming around, you know, carrying them throughout the whole season. Well, not necessarily carrying the team, but really playing well in the role that he filled for Fudge. And coming into this game, it was a very heavyweight fight. It was a punch and counterpunch. Despite the gold leads when each team had them, it didn't really matter because the other team just came back with an answer to each objective fight, each team fight. I mean, Umpty even stole the Baron at one point from Cloud9, and you know, this game could have easily went both ways. It took until the last team fight when Jojo Pyeon on the Zeri just completely took over that team fight. Berserker did extremely well. Both had 8 solo kills apiece, and you can see the potential of this team, why this team could easily have been in the first place. Now, this is a best of three, so coming back into the second game, Impact pulled out his signature Mordekaiser, and you know, this was a stomping. From the beginning, at the 10-minute mark, when C9 fumbled the team fight and got 3-0 in the bot lane, they lose their gank, they lose, you know, just about everything because of well-timed Karma Ezreal combos. Yon just triple kill right off the bat, and from there, they just snowballed their lead. From the kill score, it kind of looked like it was a close game, but you know, the Team Liquid had full control in that whole entire game, and Impact was just crazy good on a Mordekaiser. It was like he couldn't die. I mean, he did die, eventually die once, but it just took a lot for this team to even just get that one kill on him. But he hard carried the team for throughout in macro wise, I think, you know, team fights. Coming into game three, this looked very similar to game one. There was a lot of back and forth, but Team Liquid pulled away much faster. This was a 34-minute game, right? And by halfway, I think around the 25 or so minute, Team Liquid just looked better, more coordinated. Jojo Pyun had a few missteps and really just gave up a couple of kills. They shut down Blaber. Both Jojo Pyun and Blaber combined for zero solo kills and combined for eight deaths together. And, you know, it was over. I mean, it was a full AD comp for C9, which I don't understand. They can't win with a full AD comp. I guess they tried that in the previous game too, with almost a near full AD comp, and they got crushed. This one was, again, notably this type of composition of Renekton, Sejuani, Yone, Lucian, Nami. It's an early game. It's an early team comp. And if they don't win the early game, it's just going to go the way of, you know, go the way of Team Liquid. And that's how it went. By mid game, late game, when the item spikes came through, all Team Liquid, you know, as much as Blaber tried to escape, he could not get out of the grass. And Team Liquid did really, really well to secure their win and stay undefeated for the split. But this is a fun series to watch if you have time. Just watch the highlights even, and then you'll see how hype it is. Next, it's also a game that went the distance. FlyQuest against Shopify Rebellion. At this point, nobody gave Shopify any chance of being good, of being some team that, you know, that people are getting excited about. But the first game, you know, kind of looked really, really close. The kill score was 11 to 10 for FlyQuest. The gold lead was kind of massive, but Shopify fought in this game. They really did. Listening to the post interview though, by Insanity, you can hear that, like, you know, they felt a little bit lost in their calls and they were not themselves. Yet, you know, this team did not give up. It was not steamrolled by a top three team, which everyone expected that as it should be. And so we gave us something exciting to watch for game two. This time around, Shopify actually trounced FlyQuest. Fake God. I don't even like think Fake God is a great LCS player. 5-0-6 is the scoreline. Just completely demolished Whipple. And Whipple has the audacity to call, you know, Thanatos premium Fake God after getting crushed by Fake God. You just cannot trash talk someone who you got destroyed in, at least from a 1v1 stack. Boogie did really well on Atalia with a 7-2-13 scoreline, and Insanity, Bivoy, and Zazel just needed not to lose their lane. And so for a top three team like FlyQuest, I certainly can say that they're not dominant. They are very good. Maybe, okay, I'll dial out the build. They're good, but they're not dominant like we expected them to be. They look much more dominant in spring with the same names, except for Quad and Jensen swap. But even then, it's supposed to be an upgrade because Quad is a much more active player, right? And much more team fighting oriented, or a player that's supposed to do super well. But that wasn't the case here, and you lose to Shopify. Again, I'm excited for Shopify. And this showcased a potential team that's trending in the right direction. I still think they're going to need to change out a couple of pieces, but they're not too far off of being a competitive team, and they have the brand to kind of make it exciting to watch them in 2024 if they are there. Big if. Game three came around. You know, Shopify couldn't carry that momentum forward. I think FlyQuest just went hunkered down, went with the Psy on top, Alistar support, so that Busio is not like inting himself into deaths by throwing hooks. He still threw his body out, but he didn't die as much. 13-5, 26 minute game. FlyQuest had this in hand. They were just probably done being embarrassed by Shopify and able to close out the series with a 2-1 win. I'm not going to say they escaped. I got lucky, but certainly they don't look like a convincing team to me. They're still top three, but the bar is really not that high. Coming into the final weekend, it will be interesting to see the two teams, C9, face off against FlyQuest to see who takes the number two spot. At this point, looking at the performances, I will have to say that C9 looks like a better team, that looks more together. There were some interesting points to pick out. Oh, let me just finish out the week. Jan was voted player of the week, and well deserved, I think. Although I think I still would have given it to Impact because his presence was much more, pun intended, impactful than Jan's was. But people vote for who they voted for. But so that's kind of how it all played out. Jan got the Player of the Week award, and we look into the final weekend of the LCS. So a couple of things in mind. After the game, I was able to watch pros, listen to the whole interview. It was very insightful to hear sort of like some of the roster swaps that are made. For one thing, the pros have noted that Hunter Thieves actually may have gotten a little bit better once they swap to Tomo. They're not clean or clear yet, but in scrims, at the very least, they look more competitive over Meech, which is telling that Meech might have been dealing with some of his issues much earlier, but they tried to power through. The switch from Tomio back to Boogie for Shopify was a positive one. The overall sentiment, everyone, including Umpty, stated how Boogie was a much more difficult jungler to deal with, a much more challenging jungler, that he is smart, he makes the shot calling. And overall, he probably is at this point a better player than Tomio. I think I have my thoughts that, player development is important, but hearing that just probably helps me see that these coaches are not just willy-nilly pulling people out or trying out new different things. It probably is the best time to play Boogie over Tomio. I think Tomio would have needed a different composition, would have needed a stronger voice, that he's not the one that's doing the shot calling or running the most of the in-game leaders, but that he can play to his skill level and let someone else call that. Shopify, I mean, it's telling. The other four people on that team are not strong shot callers, are not good at rallying a team together. And this is somewhat surprising, I guess, because I thought that would have been the role of Zazel, being a bigger vet, being a coach himself, maybe even Fake God, who's typically asked to be more passive, weak side cover kind of top. They could have been stronger voices to help out, but they're just not. So Boogie brings that, and I think that's a good call. Hindsight, I know I've been fairly vocal about wanting to see Tomio get a chance, get a longer leash, and I think some of the tier two analyst sentiments were just similar. But overall, I think it probably gives the coaching staff from Shopify a little bit more credit for what they were able to pull together. With that said, news kind of just broke. Golden Glue will not be on stage with the 100 Thieves again in the Shopify matchup because he is at going to his best friend's wedding as a groomsman. Good for him, really choosing, life in that sense. I don't know if that affects much, if anything, but it's just if something goes wrong, we might just say, hey, you didn't have your stage coach with you. Stage coach. You didn't have your coach with you on stage. So yeah, the split is winding down. This playoffs will be very, very exciting to watch, especially I'm keeping my eyes on Shopify again, right? But I think at the end of the day, the three teams that will represent us are the top three teams in our standings right now. So probably by next show, we'll be talking about who is gets voted split MVP, all pro teams. And coach of the split, all those votings will be done. So let's take this time to just talk about predictions right now. Even before looking at some of the results, I was thinking in my head, excuse me, thinking in my head that, you know, it's going to be Team Liquid. You know, whoever wins the MVP, it's going to come from Team Liquid. All Pros is going to be mostly people from Team Liquid, although I think some certain pieces can be exchanged in and out. While it breaks my heart to say it, I think APA is at this point better than Jojo Pyun. He has a better head-to-head record this whole time in these past 2 years, right? So he belongs in the first team All Pro, in my opinion. Umpty has played well. I do think he's the number one jungler in the LCS right now. No one else is close to that. I have to think about the other positions. Yon has really looked really good. I think he's looked much better than I've ever seen him. Although ADC is always a close race, he's probably in for me. Top is no question Impact. And I'll talk about previewing a little bit about my thoughts about the bigger award, right? And so do we give the last spot to Core JJ? That one's maybe not as tough because support is weak all across the LCS. Vulcan hasn't been amazing either, inconsistent at best. And after that, there was just not a single support that I would say deserves an All-Pro. So we might just get a full TL team for the first team All-Pro. Second team will be much more interesting. I think there are bits and pieces here and there. I think Berserker is deserving of that. Jojo Pyun, for sure, deserving of that. And then it's a coin flip between Inspired, Blabber, and River. Quad also deserves that mid nomination for a second team All Pro, although the record does not show that, so you can see how this kind of moves it to Jojo. I think I meant to say Quid from 100 Thieves. So those are kind of my thoughts. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you have your own, thoughts about, you know, just who you predict as the MVP, as the All Pros, who deserves Coach of the Split? So as I already stated, I think MVP essentially should be given to Impact across all games. Every week in and out, I hear Impact made a really good showing in each of the games. And I see at the player of the game standings, you know, these are awarded for each of the series win. Impact already has been voted in 4 times, and so he has the most vote. Berserker has been voted 2 times. That's the second place, and tied with Inspired and Masu. And APA got a 1 player of the game vote at the end of the day. And going through it all, Impact has also received a player of the week before. Overall, I can't disagree with this. I mean, not just based on stats, although I have to look into the stats a little bit from the Oracle Elixir. Impact just has both the tangibles and the intangibles that earns him the MVP of the split. He is like, his KDA is tied with Thanatos at the top, but he has a way more assist, better kill numbers. His kill share leads everyone except Dogla. His first blood is at a 33% rate, and his gold difference at 10 is higher, much higher than anyone by a large margin. While his damage per, what's this, DPM, average damage to champions per minute, just outpaces the second place by almost 100. How can you not say he's like the best? He's the best top? No questions asked. Game leader, also him. Let's see all the other stats across all positions. You would say that, you know, he pretty much stands out. I mean, APA has a lot more kills, but that's the nature of his position. But Impact leads more in different categories, I think. Statistically speaking, probably not going to stand out when I try to sort all the stat, but it's undeniable what kind of things he brings to the team and how he really is definitely the key to Team Liquid's success. So, do you all agree? Do you have another nominee? I'd like to hear your arguments for or against Impact, or just some other players that you think are more deserving. At the end of the day, I think it's going to come from the undefeated team, right? If by some miracle, by some, you know, by some out of maybe they're playing a happy game and they get swept by NRG, it opens the conversation a little bit more, but I don't think it changes much. Team Liquid is going to be that team to hold on to the top spot, and Impact would still get my MVP vote at the end of the day. So looking ahead, you know, some of the matchups that are previewed, TL will play against NRG, FlyQuest will play against C9, Shopify will play against 100 Thieves. Now that would be my favorite match of the weekend, because you know, it's not a hard task for 100 Thieves. They only need to win one game and they're in the playoffs, and they may have pushed Shopify out. Not necessarily, but actually, yes, they will, because Shopify needs a 2-0 100 Thieves to make it into playoffs. So I want to see if the Thieves and the Rebels, who will come out on top. And then lastly, it will be Immortals against Dignitas. Again, this is just for formality for Dignitas to maybe lock up that fourth spot. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, Immortals is just not good. They have all the excitement. I wanted to believe in them. I even got excited when I had Superfan Sharpie on to talk about this team. I think they are doing a lot of fun stuff. Their contents are great to watch. But not winning has cost you fandoms, has cost you just any trust that people have in this organization. And honestly, with so much loss and not even, you know, being able to pull off any signature wins or even show the same type of competitiveness as Shopify, I don't think people will miss you when you're not here, no longer here. And I feel bad for saying that. And I feel really bad for the staff, for the players, because I do think they're good players, good staff members. They're just not on par with what we would want to keep if this is the consistent output that they're going to put out. So yeah, the second team that is likely going to be out, maybe people will say, you know, it's Shopify. I don't think so. I think they're very invested. So that leaves up to Dignitas, 100 Thieves, or NRG. And quite frankly, if NRG doesn't make many changes or doesn't do anything else to win the fans back, and I'm talking general LCS fans, I'm not going to miss them. I really am not going to miss them if they're not here for the Americas. I hope 100 Thieves stays for sure. They still bring a warm feeling to my heart. And Dignitas, we'll see. They might just be a slightly better version of Immortals, if I'm not, you know, if I'm being too honest here, because while they're good, they're not great at anything. And will they just float around? Will they just give us these exciting brief glimpses of moments? I don't think so. I just think they need more. They need to show them more. And these players that they signed should have put out a better showing than what they've did in the summer. But yeah, we'll see what happens in 2025. I'm here for it, and I certainly think that you'll be here for it. Yeah, tell me what your thoughts are for your final weekend. How are you going to enjoy it? What are some things that you can be doing on those weekends to watch this game? Until next time, folks, be a fan. And then some more, bring more fans over. Right? Make more people come and watch the game. And now I'm continuing to rambling on. Goodbye now.